So good morning, everyone. Today has been insane with this morning so far, but we are going to choose to just completely enter worship. And after Josh and I went out the door, I was going to type up some music in the car, and I realized our computer was dead, so I had to go back. So if we are missing some words, I want you just to close your eyes and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me into worship, because it's been crazy. But we know the Lord. Father, we just, right now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of the rain and just illnesses going on and just craziness, Father, you brought us here, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, that for right now, Peggy and Lester can be here and just worship with their family here in Bradenton. Father, we just, everything that's going on in their lives, Lord God, whether it be happening, things happening here in Bradenton or in Africa, Lord, we pray, Father, that you just work out all those details, Lord God. We don't know why things are kind of lagging out and going a little bit longer, Father, but you have the perfect plan. And I thank you that Peggy and Lester just so truly just trust in you and believe in you, Lord. That's why I get so excited when they get here, Father. I just see that beauty, your beauty radiating from them, Lord God. So I just pray, Lord, that you bless them and get them wisdom on the next steps forward and just work out all that stuff, Father. And we thank you for Dave and Marcia being here this morning, Lord. And with all the chaos that's been happening, Lord, we just do thank you, Lord, that they're able to be here with their family this morning, Lord. We pray that you bless them, Father, and comfort them, Lord. And we just pray that you just completely lead this morning, Father.
Compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The
there is no name so powerful. When we are going through hard times, we just have to say, Jesus, I know you're in control and I'm going to trust you. I know when I first became a Christian and, you know, I was understanding at first, you know, how the enemy just likes to really bring you down. When you first make those steps, the enemy just likes to tear everything apart. And my sister said, you know, even if you're alone in the room and you feel those evil spirits, you feel that condemnation, you feel anything, you just cry out the name Jesus and it has to be gone. That name is so powerful that nothing can stand against.
But somehow you want me, oh, how you
when we say to the things of the world, I don't want you to have control over me. I just want Jesus completely to have control. When we get to that point, our worries become less. I know we still have flesh. I know as a parent and as a wife, you know, I still have issues. I still worry. But I know that once I've given my heart to the Lord and I've really let things go, I do have less worries. And my prayer is that someday I'm not going to have any worries. I can just completely say, hey, no worries, I'm good. It might just be in heaven. But no matter what, my trust is going to be in Jesus. No matter what I go through, no matter the hardships, the great times, just all the time, Father, help us to rejoice in you and just to praise you, Father. Never ever going to fail us, Father. I praise you, Lord, that you show us the way, and even when we stumble and fall, you say the way is still here. You don't say, well, I showed you and you didn't do it. Father, your patience is so amazing, Lord God. Please help us to have that patience, Lord. Help us to have complete trust in you, Lord God, so that we can be that light for others, Lord. Help us to have that endurance, Lord, so that when things get tough, we don't say, you know what, maybe this isn't real. I just give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Father, help us to say, we know for a fact that you are real and we completely trust in you. Though he slay me, I will worship him. I will trust in him. Father, complete control is yours, and we love you so much. Our perfect Father in heaven. We did this last week and I liked it so much, I want to do it again. That's enough. All we need is Jesus, and he takes care of everything else. Father, help us to have that trust in you, just like children have trust in their parents. And they say, okay, Mom, okay, Dad. Father, help us to have that trust in you too. Amen. Amen.
I love it when our faces change. Okay, Jorge, am I on? All right, thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, we have a few announcements to go over, but, you know, I know we just prayed, so bear with me just for a second. Oh, thanks, Josh, you're awesome. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would take over the flow of this whole service. What you want said by your Holy Spirit would be said, and it would be said how you want it to be communicated, Lord, and in the power you want it communicated. So, Lord, give us all listening ears to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us, to me, Lord God. So speak through us and help us to listen, but just take control and organize everything that happens today. The questions, the words spoken, that it all may be led of you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Okay, so, all right, the Lord was giving me a couple things before we even get started in announcements. And so, we're living in kind of funny times. And when I say funny, I don't mean like funny like ha-ha. I mean funny as in odd times. This is weird. If you've been around for a while, and a couple of you have, not very many, it's getting weirder and weirder every day. Now, one thing that I'm seeing that kind of scares me, and I see it really infiltrating the church too, is, please don't take this in Jesus' name as any condemnation. Some people were asking today, and this was what gave me the thought, and I had somebody talk to me on Friday about this, and we were talking about this, but they were like, hey, it's raining, you know, are we going to have service today? You know, because it's a little stormy, and okay, well, I get it, you know what I mean? I get that, you know, and I had some texts, and I'm thinking to myself, we're having like a generation, too. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this, that, you know, I feel, I have a couple of sniffles. Somebody texted, no. I had a cough. I don't think I can go to Bible study today. I don't know if I should go to church today. You know, I just feel a little bummed out today. I don't want to be around God's people. Listen, whenever you hear that in your head, can I just tell you something? Just kick the devil out of there. That is not from the Lord. Listen, all throughout Scripture, he wants you to learn and us to learn perseverance. If you look in the book of Revelation, it says to him or to her who overcomes. God wants us to learn perseverance through these things. So let me tell you what, if you're ever in a Bible study, or if you're ever in a, it's almost like this should be like 101 stuff. If you ever hear that, you know, and I get it, it'd be nice to sleep in. Now, I'm not saying that sleeping in is bad. Okay, but this is where he wants you to be. This is where he wants to pour into you. So the enemy wants to do whatever he can to get in your mind and just say, just not come. Do you know what I'm saying? So I told one person, I said, unless there's a hurricane, we're having Bible study. In fact, I'm not even sure, it better be like a Cat 2 or Cat 3 and above, because we're still having it. And this is one thing that I've learned early, even as I was teaching Bible studies and teaching scriptures. If the enemy could stop me from coming any way possible, any way, he would, and I would give up. So he taught me, no matter what, you show up and you pour in and you trust me, you go, or you get there and I'll give something to you. So I know God has something for you guys today. So don't let the enemy ever stop you, whether you're here or in Timbuktu church in another country. You show up, you seek the Lord, and you know, he'll pour into you. I absolutely guarantee it. Amen? Amen. The second thing I was noticing, as we were going through those wonderful songs that were being communicated, is Jesus. And of course, you know, the scripture says in Colossians, and listen to this, you know, this is in Colossians 2. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know, not just know intellectually, but have an experiential knowledge, is what that word means, that they may know personally the mystery of God, that is Jesus Christ. And listen to this. It says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, I tell you this so no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Listen, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have it all. You have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And don't let the world tell you that Jesus is less than he is. He is the name above all names. Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. On earth, under the earth, and above the earth. Amen? Amen. And the last thing, you know, he says we have this treasure in 2 Corinthians. It says in chapter 4, but we have this treasure, Jesus. If you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Listen to this. Now, we have a whole culture who just wants to give up at the drop of a hat, right? But not for us, because we have this treasure in jars of clay to show others that this all-surpassing power we have is from God and not for us. And it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. That's what he wants to do. When you go through those hard times, you rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and you let him to shine to show others that you have a power in you that goes beyond religion. I think to myself how sad it would be just to be religious. How terrible that would be if I just came to church. How empty that would be. How miserable my life would be, honestly, if that's all there was. If I didn't know my Jesus. What a difference he makes. And I see a hand up, and I don't have the mic ready, but if you would like to speak, we would like to hear from you. So please, feel free. I think it's on.
Also, if you're at a church where they don't actually talk about Jesus and stuff like that, I was just hearing recently that there was actually this children's church that, you know, instead of, like, actually doing, like, Bible studies and stuff like that, they just had, like, video games and, like, music playing in the background and stuff like that. And I was thinking, what are they doing? Because it's like they won't actually learn about Jesus when they get older. They just want to go play video games instead of actually coming to church. So it's kind of like,
yes,
why would, you know?
You know what? And that's a great question. And you know what? I'll tell you, whenever you have wherever a church like that is, it's going to be the most popular thing around because it's fun. I mean, not that I love coming to church and it is fun, but it's more than that. It's about getting that word of God deeply rooted in your heart. So when the winds come, the waves come, you will be rooted in the word of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. Now I'll shut up. Okay. Now we'll go through announcement times. All right, guys? All right. So here we go. Just really quickly run through a couple things and hopefully we'll be able to. Okay, there is no Panera because I honestly forgot to get it, so we don't have Panera. We got Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, you got donuts. You got some sugar. Easy. Easy. You got Dunkin' Donuts. It's not as fancy. All right, you guys know tithes and offerings are put in the back in the bird box. Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for the volunteers that helped loading, carry stuff. I got some pictures, and it was a bunch of like the adults and the teens that were just on the floor like afterwards. But thank you, and thank you, Josh and Amanda, for doing that. And Carrie was leaving, and so I just wanted to say thank you guys for doing that. It's a sad, you know, listening to Carrie's testimony, for those of you who weren't here, is just kind of a testimony to me about the church, too, and what God is pouring into you. You know, people are going to come in here angry and mad. I didn't know what she was going to say, so she was thanking the church, and she said, you know, when I first came in here, I thought, oh, this is going to be so sweet, you know. When I first came in here, I didn't like Pastor Darren. I was like, she's like, yeah, he was so loving, I just wanted to punch him in the face. I thought, oh, all right again. Okay, well, you know. She's like, but I was very hurt, and I was angry, and I was mad at God, and God got us through that. And then I found out, boy, what a loving church this was, and what a loving it is. God's really used it. And so let God just work on people. So right where they're at, you just love on them. You speak truth to them. You encourage them in the word, and you take them right where they're at, right? And you let God do a work. But thank you for you guys helping out. And any of the youth I just want to encourage you to get involved in stuff like that. One of the youth was saying, that was surprisingly very fun. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you, that's great, serve away. I also wanted to say thank you for the game night. Now, Peggy and Lester, since they're speaking today, I had the day off. Like Saturday, I'm usually at 6 in the morning till about 10, 11, 12, 1 in the morning studying, other than a quick Panera break while I get some Panera stuff. But yeah, it's like 14, 16 hours straight. So yesterday, I was able to do lots of fun stuff. I had breakfast with my son. I went to a birthday party for my son for 4 hours. I went to a game night with my other sons. I helped one of my other sons get ready for Comic-Con, MegaCon, whatever, some sort of con. Anyway, whatever. Him and a friend from school. And, you know, I got to go to this game night, and there was about 20 people here. I've never been to a game night. Okay, so I was just going to come in just for a little bit, play a game. I was here for 6 hours. So you know, at 10 something I left, and there was still a bunch of people in here. I was like, oh, I guess I got to get out of here. You are such a tattletale. That is true, actually. Anyway, we don't need to go into that. But thank you, Wendy Jo, for just doing that. That was such a fun time. And can I tell you something? People were coming in all night. So if you never get out there, it was all ages. I think we had kids here from 10 to about, I don't know, 70. And it was really a great time. Okay. So also thank you for all the people who volunteered to help. We got 3 people that volunteered, new folks to help get trained in the nursery, and 1 in with the older kids. Thank you for that. If anybody else wants to volunteer for that, let me know. Also, again, Christian movies. I can only imagine. You can still see them in the Dollar Theaters, I believe. Great movie, Paul the Apostle of Christ. Boy, would that be great to take the youth there. Just saying. Oh, is it in the Dollar Theater? Huh. Let your youth pastor know, and we'll let him know. God is Not Dead, 4 or 3 or something. Also, you guys know all about this. We're going to skip through this, most of it anyway. We do have a couple more books. We just finished up the book of Habakkuk, this allegory, Hinds Feet in High Places. We have a few left. We handed them out the last 2 weeks. If anybody else wants one of these books, you have to read it. This isn't to give to Uncle Sue in Idaho or North Dakota. This is like a Pilgrim's Progress book. If you would like to read it, want to give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. Don't take it if you're not going to read it. Anybody else? Good. We handed out. We got a few left. Okay. Anybody else? It's your chance. Free. In Jesus' name. Guarantee you'll grow. You going to read it? Good. Anybody else? Good. You going to read it, son? So proud of you. Oh, I was going to have to toss it. Good. Okay, good. Anybody else? One left. Should you do it? Should you not do it? I don't want to take the last one. Well, I always have an extra hidden. Anybody else? Okay. All right. If you do, let me know. All right. And a couple more here. The book by Francis Chan, Forgotten God, the Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit in Our Churches. If anybody would like one of these, also a free book in Jesus' name. You just have to read it. We just want you to grow in the Lord. Good. Thank you. That's it. Good. Good, good, good. Love it. You going to read it, Stanley? All right, you big man. Anybody else? I have that on the next slide. Anybody else? Anybody else? Reversing the Holy Spirit. It's a fantastic book. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. I think that might be the end of that book recommendation, but I might have one more of those. New Testament devotionals, Leslie. Hold on 1 second. Ah, ha, ha. Leslie, you can go through the New Testament in 1 year. Hey, would you bring that back to her, Josh?
I actually have it in short value.
Okay, then you can take that. All right, you ready? All right, So again, hey, Mark Manley, along with Jay Grossman, for those of you who know, Mark Manley is going to be gone for the next month and a half. Jay Grossman, for those of you who know him, he's going to be gone for the next 3 months. Also, Carrie is moving up north with her parents. Carrie and Mark were just instrumental in the prayer team, so we need a couple people to come take their place Sunday mornings here at the prayer team. I want to encourage you to step out, try something new. But we also have men's Bible study and dinner, and that's first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m., and Bible study 6:30. And what are we going through? Have you... First and Second Timothy. Awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, good. And then Transformers Youth Group here, 6:30. Whoop, whoop. 6:30 to 8:30. Josh and Amanda Panda. Okay. See that if you're interested in that. And then barbecue and Bible study. Now, this is the fifth Thursday.
It's the fifth Thursday, so we're going to do worship. We are going to have dinner.
Okay.
Normal.
Thank you, Daryl.
Okay,
what time of prayer? Okay, so it'll be like a prayer night. Prayer and worship? Okay. Okay, all right, thanks. Sounds good, Gary. Okay, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, continue to pray for that as we are ending this year. We want to finish strong. That's them at the Ark Encounter. Come on, kids. My clicker isn't going. That's the younger kids at Discovery Cove. Aw, and that's so cute. Okay, so we just finished Colossians, the book of Colossians and Philemon and the book of Habakkuk. We just did last week teaching on prayer, and so that was really Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 13, and so if you missed that, you can listen to it online at homefellowshipchurch.com, but today we've got something very special. We have Lester and Peggy Seiler that's going to come up, and they're going to share with us. Yes, you can give them a round of applause, and they're going to come up and share, and we're going to just talk with them. I don't have any idea what they're going to talk about, and maybe they don't either, but we're going to bring them up here, and then I'm just going to start off with a couple questions and then end with a couple questions. The rest is theirs, and for those of you who don't know, they've been ministering, I think now, in Zimbabwe for 45 years, 47 years, so that is faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? And we're glad you're back. Yes, for those of you who don't know, the neat thing about them, they're hoping to be back here, up here with us in Bradenton. They have a place, and if you would please pray for their place to sell in Zimbabwe, that would be wonderful. It's all in the Lord's timing, but I want to say, I was going to say retiring, but you know what? If you love Jesus, you never retire. Isn't that correct? That's right. You retread, you're just doing it in a different area. And so, but if you would just pray for them for God's will to be done. Can I invite you guys to come up for just a second? Would you guys come on up? Well, actually, it'd be more than a second. Can I have that microphone? Hey, would you grab that? Thanks. I don't know if you want to stand or sit, so I got you some nice comfy stools. Or you could have the comfy couch if you'd prefer. Whatever is easier for you. Okay, you choose. It doesn't matter to us, honestly. Okay, I'm going to give you guys the mic. You guys can choose. I wanted to ask you a question before you talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. Okay, so here's the question I want to ask you. You've both been serving the Lord now for 47 years, and I just want to see if your name tag is still on there.
Gone.
Okay. His wife put on Abe Lincoln on his name tag. That's great. Thought that was great. She's like, my wife is always doing that. But, you know, God has taught you, I'm sure, a lot in those years. And not all of them have been just prancing through the posies. Some have been very difficult. Some have been very joyful, I'm sure. But I know the Lord has taught you much. But if you could each think, what is one thing after all these years that God has spoken to you? And I'd like you, Lester and Peggy, each to say, God has spoken something to you. There's one thing that for us, now you've got folks here that know the Lord and have been walking with the Lord for many years, some that are new in the Lord and some that don't know the Lord yet at all. But I would like you to share, what is one thing just so that we can glean from you that God has really taught you, Lester, personally, in all these years. And then I would like you to share one thing that God has really spoke personally and taught you that we could glean from. And then you guys can just go for it.
Early in my Christian life, the Lord impressed upon me a scripture in Corinthians that says, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And looking at the Lord's faithfulness to us, that was one of the things that the Lord impressed upon me, is that, hey, we also need to be found faithful. And also, it's that the Word of God says it's a requirement. It's not an optional extra. You know, you're talking this morning about finding various excuses to not be faithful to the house of God. But that's one of the things that Lord taught me. And through all the problems and the uncertainties and wars and et cetera, that we went through in Zimbabwe, Africa, that, you know, still we found the Lord faithful, which also impressed upon us to be faithful to his calling in our hearts and in our lives.
I'm reminded of the scriptures that says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. And as I look around here and I see quite a few young people, I'm really blessed to see that. I was 16 years old when I heard the call to be a missionary. I was still in high school. I was so absolutely sure about it. When they did the school yearbook and you put in it your future, I put a missionary. I did not know that it would be in Africa at that time, but I knew and I heard the call of God on my life. And through these 47 years, I must admit, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, because as I get older, it's gotten a little harder for me to do some of the things that I've done. And I must admit, I'm a little bit tired. On many of the furloughs that we have come home on, we have met people. They've cried to us. And they said, you know, I thought or felt that God called me. And I didn't do it. I met a man. I got married. And they cried and they say, I've missed it. So I just want to say to those of you who are young here, still, I'm not married. I'm talking 10 years old and up. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. And I am so glad that I have done that. Thank you.
Might add that we were 21 years old when we arrived in what was then Rhodesia. So after finishing Bible college, we went. Traveled in the States for 9-10 months, and we were 21 when we arrived on the mission field.
I got more at the end.
Oh, so that's the only question.
Oh, I got more at the end. I just don't want to take up, I don't know how much you got, so I don't want to take up your time.
Can you hold this for me?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess we could really tell you all how to chase an elephant. And there are ways you can chase an elephant. We could also tell you how to run from an elephant, because we've done that lots of times too. We could tell you how the baboons try to get in my house and steal my bread off the top of my refrigerator and or my fruit. And we can tell you all about the cobras and the black mambas and the puff adders. That's going to be another time. Really, our time is short, but we wanted to first of all thank all of you for your prayers for us.
Yes,
out there on the field. You have no idea, but prayer is always the most important thing a missionary can have. You might think that it's money. I'm going to tell you it is not. It is people that will go before God and pray for your safety, your protection, your wisdom. That is what we need. We know that. The second thing is we'd like to thank you for all the yummies and the groceries that this fellowship put together and that we had in our home. I am sure we're going to gain some weight while we're here. But thank you so much. It's from our hearts. Like we've said, we've been in Africa for 47 years, and God's timing is His timing. When we came here 2 years ago, we actually had a buyer for our house. Papers were signed. We thought it was going through. And then it all collapsed. We didn't get angry with God, a bit disappointed. But God, you have a purpose and a plan because He always does all things well. In the last 2 years, the country has gone through a lot of change. We've had a relatively peaceful coup taken over. But economically, the country is in dire straits. Before we came, Lester went to our bank manager, who is very helpful, and he said, could you please give me $150 cash? And he said, look, give me time. I'll work on it and try to get that money together. Only $150 cash, and it's not even U.S. dollars. It's in what we call a bond note over there. Well, after about a week, we got a phone call. You can come and get your money. Lester went to the bank, and we got the money. $150, all in 50-cent coins. Like I said, through these last 2 years when we thought we were going to be home sooner, we've had to look back, and we say, I know exactly why we're still there. Why we're still here, God. It's okay. I told one woman, I am so glad we have not left, that we have been here for you. So God doesn't make any mistakes. In 3 weeks, we're probably going to know something about our house. We're going to know it even before we leave here. Whether it's going to be sold or whether a ministry is going to be moving into it. We're just open for God's will to be done. What I want to share with you is that we have really appreciated the letters that have been sent to us, and especially Wendy Jo and the letters sent to us from the young people. There's two I would like to share with you. This one is what I call our faith picture. If you can see this, what it is, it's a house drawn by one of the children here. And unfortunately, there wasn't a name put on this one. But there's four people there. This one on the far right says Lester. The next one says Peggy. And the next two people are obviously the buyers for our house. And we all have smiling faces. And if you look closer, you see a for sale sign. And across the for sale sign says sold. So we call this one our faith picture, which came from the young people in this fellowship. There's one other among many, many. And there are the children that wrote to us are Dan and Nick and Jesse and Joshua and Jacob and Ezekiel and Sophia, Allison, Sebastian, Joe, Nathan, and a few that forgot to put their names on the paper. But one really touched my heart, just one sentence. And I don't know if Skylar is here. Skylar, are you here? Skylar Bilbray? Skylar? You're Skylar. Okay, I didn't know who you were. Would you stand up, honey? Skylar, you wrote something very beautiful in this letter. One thing it says, I hope I can be a missionary in Africa. And I pray to God that you will always have a missionary heart, sweetie. And if God takes you to Africa, that's wonderful. God bless you. God's timing is perfect. And when we first started out many years ago, we had a song written by a guy named Joe Hatfield. And now, unless you're 65 years and older, you won't know anything about Joe Hatfield. And this is one of those oldie songs. But the name of the song is I'm Willing. And it says, I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do your perfect will. And if valleys I must trod to do your will, O God, then I'll walk them or climb the highest hill. And we'd like to try to sing that for you. Okay.
Mic's there.
Use this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Peggy can use the yellow one. Not used to preaching with a mic.
Hey, you want to take 2 seconds? We're pretty informal here.
Oh, good.
You want the headset? Yes.
I need both hands.
I completely understand.
You understand.
Nate could probably do this a lot better, but I'll do my best. There we go.
Okay.
Is that good? Right in the corner.
Can I put
hear him okay?
Right inside?
Yeah.
All right. Good, good, good. And this thing should come up. Thanks, Nate. All right. Next thing, put my glasses on. Now we're all set. Luke chapter 9, we're looking at verses 57 to 62. Luke 9, 57 to 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. And it came to pass, okay, yeah, all right, you would say, and it came to pass. See, Zimbabwe used to be a British colony, okay? So if you hear some words that sound a little bit funny and, or some terminology, I'll try to make it more American. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus calls one man to go and preach the kingdom of God. And two others, they come to him and they volunteer. They say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your close followers. And the replies that Jesus gave to these three seem to come across as rather harsh. I mean, Jesus, though, knowing the hearts of man, he knew their motives, and he knew which areas to target. So we must also note one thing. And that is that Jesus never said to any of them, no, no, you're disqualified. No, the welcome was there. Come, follow. The first volunteer, he was informed that, yes, you may be one of my followers, but I want to advise you, it's not a cushy number. Okay? It's not going to be easy. Jesus then actually called the second one. And he replied that he was willing to follow, but he says, allow me first to go and bury my father. Now, our immediate thought is that his father died and is in the morgue, and they're just waiting for family to arrive from out of town and so forth, and then they were going to have the funeral. But that's not the case. The case is that his father was probably very well and strong, howbeit probably elderly. But he says, look, after my father dies, and then, yeah, I'll be right willing to minister the word of God. But let me first. Now, Jesus knew that the man had other family members, and he called the man to preach the gospel. And when you have other family members, it's like, okay, we're over in Zimbabwe. Our parents die, or relatives die. Other family members take care of the formalities because of the call of God. The third guy also volunteered to follow Jesus, and he came up with, but me first. He was asking to go home to sort out some business situations. But Jesus knew that as soon as he went home, that fire that was burning in his heart as a volunteer to follow Jesus closely, that it would be extinguished. So that's why he said what he did. Now, that being said, I'm not talking today about the cost of discipleship. But what two out of the three men said to Jesus, "Let me first." It's this "me first" mentality. Everywhere we look today, we see this "me first" mentality expressing itself. But we see also that it's nothing new. I mean, Jesus faced it here, and he continues to face it. Whenever Jesus speaks to a person's heart, says, "I want you to repent, your time is now. Now is the day of salvation. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus." You feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come all over you. And then this "me first" mentality kicks in with the help of the devil. He says, "Yes, it's a good thing, but look what you're going to have to give up. You know, I mean, no more drunken parties. No more fornication. You're going to have to clean up your potty mouth. And your old wayward friends, they're going to shun you," and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lie from the devil that those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, that they don't have fun anymore. Hey, we have fun. But at the end of the day, we have no regrets. We have nothing to repent about or apologize to anybody for. I had a chap tell me in the town where we were ministering in Zimbabwe. He says, "Lester, I wish that I could be like you. I really do. But surely your life must be boring, incredibly boring." I says, "What? How can my life be boring when I'm associated with the likes of you?" But to me, it seemed to indicate how some people, with the "me first" mentality, that's how they view the Christian life. It's boring. And as Peggy mentioned, as we traveled in the States, you know, speaking in various churches, itinerating, the number of people that have come to us with tears streaming down their face and said, "God spoke to me, but me first." And they ended up marrying someone who had no call to ministry, no call to missions. And the whole thing was quenched, and they regret it because they pushed it aside to do what they wanted to do. I believe that we're all born with this "me first" mentality, right? I mean, here's a brand new baby in the house. That baby does not care that mother was looking after the household and other children and had other responsibilities. But 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Wah! The "me first" mentality, right? But we're supposed to grow out of that. Whiskers in the cradle, there's no excuse for that. We're supposed to grow out of our "me first" mentality. I mean, we've just been back for a couple days, and I know things are a little bit better here. But the supermarkets in Zimbabwe, the lines are at the till, and people are continually pushing in the queues. You know, trying to cut in line. And there's one road in a rather lawny, a good section of Harare. It's only a 2-lane road, but the commuter vans drive down the middle of the road, pushing other people off the road, and it doesn't matter. I mean, they get away with it. We were recently traveling down, actually it was a 2-lane road, two lanes on each side, but they turned it into 4 lanes on each side. And then they come up and try to cut in line. And it's this "me first" mentality. I mean, why do people steal cars? Why do they break into houses? The usual answer is, I guess they think that they need the things more than what we do. It's a "me first" mentality. Why do people take advantage of others and rip people off? Why do churches fire a pastor who preaches righteousness and walking in their integrity and holiness before God and making sure that you're right with God instead of making people feel good and fuzzy when they leave church and still continue in their sinful lives. Me first. Why do husbands cheat on their wives and their wives cheat on their husbands? And break their marriage covenant. One wife told me, she says, my husband doesn't make me laugh anymore. He's no fun. She got a divorce on that ground. A man told me, husband told me, he says, well, if my wife doesn't cook for me at home, I need to go out to eat. He's not talking about food. I've never heard of anyone starving to death for being celibate. The illustrations can go on and on. But it all goes back to this me first mentality. And I believe that when the coming of the Lord approaches closer and closer, it's going to be even stronger. We're going to see more and more of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul gives a list of various things that are going to be in the last days. And the first thing on this list that Paul makes in his list, he says that they will be lovers of their own self, followed by other me first things, covetous, boasters, proud. See, even the disciples, they had this mentality. In Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, here James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came unto him, they saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatever we shall desire. Wow, look at that. And he said unto them, well, what would you like me to do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in your glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you're asked. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, yes, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized that I'm baptized with. Shall you be baptized? But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it's prepared. And when the ten, and rightfully so, when the ten heard what James and John did, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you shall be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So here are two of Jesus' disciples with the me first mentality, and they're trying to jump ahead of the other 10 disciples and obtain elitist positions in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, sorry guys, but that's the way of the world. It's not the way of the kingdom of God. God's way, if you want to be first, then you have to put others first. Jesus went on to say that even he, God in the flesh, came to serve and to give his life a ransom. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't have this me first mentality. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was for others, for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17 and in verse 18, he says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. And it was for us that he surrendered his will to the will of the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And I believe that Jesus could have refused to drink of that cup. He could have, but he drank it. He drank it because he wasn't looking for himself. He looked beyond the cross and he saw you and he saw me. While Jesus was on the cross, he was challenged with the me first mentality as the people shouted to Jesus, if you saved others, let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't give in to personal advantage. Jesus lived and he died for you and for me. 1 John 3:16, we know that the love of God, we know the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for others, for the brethren. How is this accomplished? I believe that it's accomplished by Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we put Jesus first, and I appreciated so much the emphasis on Jesus and the songs that were selected this morning. We put Jesus first, then we bless others by dedicating our lives to Jesus Christ and allow him to take this me first heart out of us and replace it with a Jesus first heart. And that's what the church at Philippi did. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then unto others by the will of God. And when we give ourselves to the Lord and are in tune with him, he will direct us where we're supposed to get involved, how that we're to bless others, and where and what we're supposed to do for the kingdom. Remember the saying, if you want joy, J, Jesus first, O, Y, right. Other sayings are, live to give, save to serve. The purpose of life is to find a life with a purpose. A me first life is not a life with a purpose. One of the purposes of life is to give a valuable possession to our children. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, a just man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Parents who are walking in their integrity, they have a depth and a relationship with God in their own hearts and in their lives. And that's an inheritance that they can pass back and down to their children. We commit our lives to the Lord, allowing to change our heart. We find fulfilling in a life with a purpose because it's no longer me first. I illustrate with a story that I found and rediscovered Jesus by Matthew Kelly. And a brief story, and I'd like to read it. It was the biggest meeting of Paul's life. It had gone very well. He could not wait to tell his wife and his boss. And as he rushed out of the Brooklyn office building with the rest of the team, they noticed a vacant taxi cab, a very rare sight at rush hour. Eager to get to the airport to catch their flight home, they bolted toward the cab, shouting to get the driver's attention. As they made their way across the sidewalk, they inadvertently knocked over a small produce stand. The rest of the team seemed oblivious until Paul stopped and turned around to go back. From beside the taxi, the others called out to Paul, "Come on, you're going to miss your flight." And Paul said, "It's all right, go ahead without me." And he made his way back across the street toward the sidewalk that was now covered with produce. At that moment, he realized that the woman who was behind the produce stand was blind. She was just standing there crying softly with tears running down her face. "It's okay, it's okay," Paul said to her as he got down on his hands and knees and began picking up the fruit and the veggies. There were 100 people that were passing in each direction, but no one else stopped to help. They just scurried off wherever they were going. When the fruit was all back up on the stand, Paul began to neatly organize it, setting aside anything that was spoiled. Now he turned to the woman and asked, "Are you okay?" And she nodded through her tears. Then, reaching for his wallet, he took out some bills. And he passed them to the woman, saying, "This money should take care of the damaged fruit." With that, Paul turned to begin to walk away. "Mister," the woman called after him. Paul paused and turned around. Are you Jesus?" No, he replied. The woman nodded and continued, "I only ask because I prayed for Jesus to help me as I heard my fruit falling all over the sidewalk." Paul turned to leave again. Now, this time, his eyes were filling with tears. For a long time, he wandered around looking for a taxi. After finding one, he sat in bumper-to-bumper traffic all the way to the airport. He had missed his flight, and because it was Friday night, all the other flights were full. Paul spent the night in a hotel by the airport, and this gave him time to think. He could not get this question out of his head. And I ask you the question: when was the last time someone confused you for Jesus? See, this can only happen when we no longer have a me-first mentality. And when we have a me-first mentality, that means that everything else comes second and third and fourth place, including the call and the will of God. One thing that we are all called to do is share Jesus Christ with other people. The Great Commission in Mark chapter 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," is not a command that's just given to a select few. It's a command that is given to each and every born again Christian. And this is our commission. This is our calling. And unless the Lord calls you to a foreign field, you are called to be a missionary here at home. And when you walk out of this church, you are entering the mission field. The problem that I have seen here, one of the problems that I've seen here in the United States, is that pressure is being put on us to be politically correct. And the problem with that is that we end up compromising. And when we do share with somebody about the Lord, normally we talk about God because God's a bit more politically correct than what Jesus is. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That name is Jesus. And there is just one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ, Jesus. Because Jesus Christ loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's all through Jesus. And that testimony of the masses in Revelation chapter 5, where people from all over the globe are before the throne, the Bible says, "And you have redeemed us unto God by your blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation." And they're all there, and they're rejoicing about being blood washed before the throne of God. Okay, how did they hear about Jesus? Someone had to tell them. Missionary. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How shall they believe in whom they've not heard?" Someone had to tell them about Jesus. Who's going to tell them? Missionaries like you and like me. There is no gospel message without Jesus. So let's surrender our me-first mentality for a Jesus-first heart, and share Jesus with our life and with our lips. Because that's missions. That's your calling. That's your commission. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to see our calling and our responsibility to the world. Surrender our me first mentality and allow you, Lord, to replace it with a Jesus first heart. Walk, Lord, in your calling in our hearts and in our lives, being Jesus to a lost and dying world. Jesus' name, amen. Question. Amen. Right. Good.
Peggy, can I? If you come up here just for 1 minute, thanks. That was a good word, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, you can try. We are thankful for what the Lord has done in you and through you. And what he continues to do. You know, what just kind of strikes me too is, you know, that verse that we went over, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, you know, or one of the translations says we have it in jars of clay. Clay is just dirt. Basically, apart from Christ, we're just dirt bags, right? The power is inside. The treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ that he pours in us. That's when we become born again, so we can pour it out like living water into other people. That's the whole point of you being here. It's getting off of that me first mentality. Serve me, whether it be in our parenting, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our work, in our school, to make it all about him first. What do you want me to do, Jesus? That's the point. Of it all, of your life, of you still being here. Listen, if God was done with you and you get saved, you'd be gone. He still has a mission for you, not just missionaries in Zimbabwe, although praise the Lord for that, but mission right here, right now. And I just want to, you know, close with two things. And if, yeah. Okay, sorry. I'm just kind of praying and asking as I'm speaking. So what I'd like you guys to do is, Peggy, if you would close us out in prayer in just a second. But I would like each of you to say one last thing. We've got, again, different people groups here. And there's some folks here who know the Lord and have served the Lord, and maybe they are a little tired, or maybe they are a little tempted, I just want to take it easy. You know what I mean? Whether they're young or they're old, right? That me first mentality, like you just spoke about. But I would just like you just to pray and ask if there was one thing that you could say to this body right now, you know, and maybe that was it, but what would it be? And then, Peggy, I'd like you, there's people here who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet, you know, and they're coming here and they really don't know personally who he is. I would like you also to speak to them. And then if you wouldn't mind praying and closing us all out, and we just want you to know how thankful we are that you guys are here and how blessed we are that you're here. And, I just want to say thank you personally. I had such a wonderful time with my family yesterday. It was so great. I just want to say thank you. So anyway, I'll let you guys close out. But anything, one last thing that you would say to this body, anything at all, doesn't have to be politically correct. Speak it.
Am I still alive here? All right. Yeah. Having served the Lord for a long time, and why does the Bible tell us don't grow weary in well-doing? Exactly. We do get weary, and he knows that. He understands that. But we're not of those who give up. And not only that, but when we realize, and
the overall picture of everything. Hey, 70, 75, or like our Zimbabwe president, who is no longer president because of the coup last November, okay? I mean, he carried on too, 93 years old, and he was still president of Zimbabwe. I mean, you know? So if they can do it, hey, we carry on. We carry on because our eyes are not on me first. Our eyes are on Jesus. And we know that when we serve him with all of our heart and all of our life, when we get to heaven, well done. Thou good and, what did I say earlier? Faithful servant. So we're not of those that give up or grow weary. We gain strength from the Lord, and we carry on serving the Lord with all of our hearts.
I'm reminded of the scripture that says, today is the day of salvation. It's today. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. And if you're sitting here today, and you've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, I know that, because you live in America. But today can be your day of salvation. You know, I am thankful that I gave my life to Jesus at 16. Some of you sitting here may be younger than that. Some of you teenagers here, maybe you have or maybe you haven't dedicated your life to the Lord. But I've seen people in their 60s and 70s give their lives to Jesus Christ. He is the God of new beginnings. And the scripture says, as many as received him, to them he gives the power to be the children of God. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're a child of God, then I am asking you, please, will you not give your total whole life to Jesus and watch him turn that around for you? These years can be the latter and best part of your life. And if you're young, do it now that you can have a full and fulfilling life. So today I want to ask you, as we bow our heads in prayer and close our eyes, can we all do that? Jesus. And I want to ask, if you are here today and you have not given your life to Jesus, you are not absolutely sure that you would go to be with him, I would like to include you in my prayer. Would you just slip up your hand quickly? I don't know who you are. And then put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to stand or do anything like that. But I just want you to acknowledge, Peggy, I need Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. We come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Lord, I am so thankful that your word says that you knew us from our mother's womb. And that, Lord, that your plan was to reveal yourself in us. And, Lord, I pray today for every heart in this room to open up and receive you as Lord and Savior and know you as King of Kings. And so that, Lord, that even if we walked out that door today and we died getting in our car, that it doesn't matter because we would go to be with you. God, that's the kind of assurance I am praying for people here to know you like that. And that when your power and your Holy Spirit lives inside a person, Lord, that's the most wonderful experience anybody can have. To know that we have intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you for the work that you do here today. And in the days ahead, for your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' sweet name, amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's good to be home.